Live Line on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry, bringing you great savings on curtains and bedding. Available all year in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. 51551 is our text number. Joe at RT.ie. Shoplifting in the Republic of Ireland has seen a significant rise in the first part of 2024. For example, in the first 3 months, theft and related offences increased by 9%, with shoplifting accounting for almost half of these incidents. Retailers are reporting more aggressive and frequent incidents, driven in part by the cost, they say, by the cost of living crisis. Now, Jared has contacted us. Jared, good afternoon. You're in County Meath. Would you concur with that newspaper report, shoplifting, significant rise this year?
Yeah, hello, Joe. It's very bad at the moment in my business at the moment with regard to shoplifting. It's on a continuous basis.
And tell us your situation, what type of shop and what's been happening.
Like, we're part of one of the symbol groups, Joe, and what's happening, Joe, is they're starting from the ages of 12 to 14 and so on, and they're coming in and they're lifting valuable items in regards of alcohol, likes of baby food, the likes of, say, likes of deodorants and that. And what's frustrating is that there's nothing done with them, Joe, in regards to when you report them into the Gardaí. It's probably because of the age and everything else. And I feel, as a retailer of 20 years, that it's just frustrating in regards of if it was nipped at a certain age that and there's consequences, I believe that it would sort a lot of problems. I feel that this thing, they keep reoccurring, the same shoplifters, and then they move on to bigger things because they are in a world that they feel like they're not answerable to anybody and they're just a law unto themselves.
51551 is our text number. Are they brazen? Do they wear the disguise?
They don't, Joe. They come in and they don't care what camera's looking at them or what. We have 40 CCTV cameras on site here.
How many?
And 40 in a 4,000 square foot shop. So we're not overly big. And we would provide very good footage to the Gardaí.
Yeah.
And nothing comes of it, Joe. I know that they're under-resourced in that, and I just would feel frustrated to this point that I'd say to myself, like, I don't know how long more I can stick it, Joe, being honest with you, because no matter where you are, even if you went away for 2 days, I was away for 2 days recently, and I had three or four incidents and to a value of maybe €200 or €300. And you just feel you come back, you prepare the footage for the Gardaí, and like every USB stick is costing €10 and nothing comes off it. 90% of the time, nothing comes off it. They don't seem to know the guys that are doing this. And it's at the stage, Joe, I'm very, very frustrated with it.
And was it ever thus? Has it changed? Has the Garda reaction changed?
I believe in the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know whether COVID had brought it about or whatever. I feel in the last 3 or 4 years, in my 20 years in business, I feel there actually are the worst 3 or 4 years for shoplifting. And I feel like it's just literally, Joe, you imagine if someone went into your house and steals something belonging to you and you ring the Gardaí, and you feel that there's nothing coming back to you. You just feel like you're at the mercy of the winds with absolutely nobody on your side. And that's the way I feel in business at the moment. I just wanted to get in contact with your show to see, am I the only person in retail in this country that never gets a follow-up at 90% of the time?
Wow. And I'm looking at the front page of the current edition of the Connacht Tribune, a great local newspaper, and there is caught. CCTV captures three thieves on camera as Gardaí issue warning on home security. These are three fellas in balaclavas, and they rocked up to the door at the home. The names are on the front page, Mary Keenan and Gortine near Ballinasloe. Luckily, Mary wasn't in the house, but she had one of those video doorbells, and she captured the three of them. And there is brazen. They're just going. They didn't get into the house because she was able to communicate through the bell, and they ran. But the three of them look as brazen as anything. They were just going to get into the house, wreck it, obviously, and rob it. And fair play to Mary Keane, and she had the good sense to shout through the connection. And they ran. Now, the only thing I'm thinking here, looking at it, and I'm thinking of Mary, obviously, and I hope she's okay. She is, according to the newspaper. But that photograph of those three couriers from CCTV, it's probably illegal. Connacht Tribune never do anything illegal. But under GDPR, are you allowed to circulate photographs of the shoplifters to other shops?
No, definitely not, Joe. Certainly not. That's another frustration of mine. We can't even, as a group within the area that I'm in, and we know what we all retailers communicate with each other, we can't share images of people that comes in and shares, and even threaten staff. Like, there's another situation where we had some time ago where a staff member was held up and money was taken, and like there's nothing came off that, Joe. I didn't even receive a pulse number or anything, so I or even a follow up or to let me know what happened.
So it wasn't a pulse number, means it's a file has been opened, and you're saying there wasn't even a file opened on the case.
Wasn't even a pulse number back a number of years ago, Joe. I'm 20 years in business. I would have received on different occasions where a pulse number would be given to you, and you'd be obviously you're put live on the system, and those good old days for me as a retailer is certainly gone. They're very far and few between. And I feel as a retailer, Joe, being very honest with you, and I was a wee bit resistant coming on to you today, but I just feel that I'm at the stage now is I'm asking the people that's listening to your show, especially the retail community, I think a lot of them are actually probably afraid to speak out to what's really happened in regards to when they report a theft, what is actually happening. Nothing's happened. And I know the government intends to increase the forces in within the Gardaí, and that's welcome. I welcome that, and I'd hope and pray that will bring some help into my sector of the trade. But like, I just don't really have much hope in it, Joe, being very honest with you, because I feel that it goes into different other areas. The lady that you mentioned there with them couriers, I just would love to know what age, because I feel that these guys
one of them is, I know he's covered up to under his nose, but he's very, I think if any local guards are brilliant at recognising local people, even, but there's one of them very recognisable in his anorak there, his puffer jacket, his Canada Goose jacket or whatever they wear, probably robbed as well. One of them is recognisable, but what, in your shop, if you confront anybody, Gerard, as they're dipping, as they're robbing a bottle of whatever they can get their hands on, what would happen if you confront them?
I tell you, Joe, what happened as many times to us here when we do confront them, lots of the time they'll walk out without us, with the product, I mean, and then would obviously course at you and give you bad language, because nothing comes out of it, Joe. Nothing comes out of it. Like 90%, I have a book I would have given to your researcher for pictures of it. It's full of theft for the last 2 to 3 years. Yes. And I can put my hand on my heart, Joe, 90% off the incidents in that book, I never hear back from it. I never hear a word back or even saying that you're a victim of crime, call such and such a number, what the good old days were. It's gone and very much in the past, and we're living in a time now at the moment where us as retailers nearly have to take on the situation yourself. We have been threatened. My family has been threatened with thugs that come in and could tell me how many children I had and where I lived. Like, there's no, you just feel like you're on a desert and you just don't know where to turn in regards of the Gardaí. And I have the greatest respect for the Gardaí, because I have friends that are in the Gardaí, and I know that it's not just me to be given out, but I really think that the government needs to focus on the age between the 10 upwards and make consequences for these young couriers or these thugs, because
from
they go on to bigger things, Joe.
From 10 upwards.
from 10 upwards, and they need to have some kind of a system in place where maybe the parents are held more accountable for their action, because they're certainly not listening to the retailer like me telling them to take the stuff out of their pockets or whatever. Nothing comes up with Joe, and I believe they go on to do different things than more serious crime, and that's what's happening in the country at the moment. They go on to develop into bigger things like maybe drugs and so on. So that's what's basically why I contacted your show, Joe, and I appreciate you Aaron, the problems that we're facing as retailers. And I couldn't stress enough for any retailer that is listening at the moment, please get in contact with your show, raise the issues that I've raised, because I don't believe for one minute I'm the only person in retail that is facing the problems I'm facing.
And you mentioned the parents there, Jared. Do you think that if you knew the parents, would they do anything? Would you feel okay about saying it to the parents, or would you be frightened again?
I would be frightened again to some of the cases. Some parents I would say, Joe, to that you have, and they would take it and they'd be active, very proactive in regards to how to deal with it. But, Joe, a majority of them, I would not even dream of contacting them or getting, because they don't care. A lot of the time, Joe, they're actually put up from the parents to lift the product, because they know that if the adult lifts it, there's going to be consequences. If it finally reaches court and if it is followed up, there's no consequences for a minor. None, and they usually put the kids up to lift, to steal and take the product, and they give the kids the list of what they need.
And is there any, we had it here 6 months ago, someone went into a supermarket and the security tags were on the baby formula. They're normally on bottles of whiskey, but would that help?
That wouldn't. They don't care, Joe. If you're in living in my life, you'd understand it. They don't care, Joe. They come out, they smile up at the camera. They just are a law unto themselves. They know that the Gardaí aren't going to follow them. Situations in the past where I would have given registration numbers or maybe what a house to live to the Gardaí, but there's never a follow up, Joe. There's nothing there. I don't know. I know that they're under-resourced, and I know, and I can't stress enough, I know that they have a very, very difficult job. But what, as retailers, me, I'm considering just saying, look, Joe, I had enough nearly at this stage. I just feel like if you don't have a police service to back you up in this, you just feel like you're nearly at your end.
I know in a number of shopping centres and the there's a number of shops, chains actually have closed down, fashion chains. And I know the argument, it's online. But also I was told categorically by a staff member of one of these chains that closed, one of the reasons they disappeared and shut down was because of shoplifting. And they couldn't do anything about the exact same. They can't even have a briefing now on a Monday morning where you go through the CCTV, say, watch out for A, B, C and D. She came in here last week and walked out with a €800 dress under her coat or whatever. You're not even allowed to share the photographs among the staff. Where's Mark? Stay with us, Jared. Joe at RT.ie 51551. Margaret, good afternoon. Charity, Hello, tell me, are they giving the stuff to charity shops?
No, you donate stuff to the local charity shops, right? And they're on display. And there are certain individuals will come in and they will actually rob clothes. Like, there could be only a few pound each or euros, you know.
They shoplift in a charity shop.
Yes, exactly, they do. I have a friend that works in one, and she tells me, and they can see them on the CCTV after they've done it or whatever.
And can they put stuff behind counters or?
Yes, well, the charity shop, like, they put stuff on display in their windows, and they literally have to have steel railings around the windows to keep people from putting their hands in and robbing the clothes. They put the best of the charity shop, you know, in the windows.
And are they
might have a little sale.
Are they as brazen as Jared's culprits are?
Oh, they just walk in and there's a few of them in the shop together. There could be a few men, a few women, and they just go over to the rails, take whatever they want off, wrap it up under their clothes and off they're gone.
Yeah.
Under their jackets or whatever, you know.
And you say they have CCTV.
It's happening all the time.
Every house now has CCTV. Yeah. I don't know if it's much use to people.
Yeah. I don't think it is. Because you have to prove, you know.
And you can't share, and you'd be told the criminal has rights.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Margaret, thanks indeed. That's Margaret. You, Connor, no, Joe at RT.ie. You, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
You're listening to Jared. You can hear him. The man is at his wit's end. It's his livelihood.
Well, I can understand, Joe. You see it all over. I work in the city centre and you see it all over.
In Dublin, is it?
Law and order is not breaking down. Law and order has broken down. There is no consequences for 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. And they're not stupid. They know there's no consequences. And you just do what you like. Mm-hmm. There was one particular guy I had in the taxi one day, and he was the manager of a store on Talbot Street. And he said he had to close it down because of the amount of thieving that was going on. Now, he was calling the guards, and the guards obviously had other things to prioritise. But they're all little things that he was selling. But they all add up when there's so many that are being taken.
It's your livelihood. And Jared, Jared, because you prompted a question. Jared, do you work 6 days a week, 7 days a week?
Yes, Joe. We and even Joe, when you're not present or there, you're never away from it, Joe. You never, even if you decided to go away for a couple of days with your wife and your kids or whatever, there's never a time that I could say to you that I am switched off. I'm getting a phone call. Yeah. Such and such has been in. It's just what you'd call. You're never away from it, Joe. And you just, you'd have to be walking in your shoes to understand it and how you feel. And that's why I said, look, I have enough of this, and I contact you, because I know you raised it before, and I just said, I just want to know how much of it is out there happening. And I just, sometimes you'd feel retail can be a very lonely game, and you can be very lonely and isolated at times in your own head, and you'd like to think that you weren't the only one that was happening to. I just feel everything with law and order, as that gentleman has said there, it hasn't broken down. It is already broken. It's broken down a long time. It just didn't break down today or yesterday.
You mentioned your log, Jared, that you keep.
Yes.
Though obviously you have CCTV. I can't talk about that. But I'll give an example to our listeners. And you log in, what happens? Okay, two women and a fellow came into the shop and took meat and a toaster to the value, and a toaster to the value of €97.24. I gave the CCTV to the guards and reported it. To date, no information or pulse number given. A group of men came into the store and stole scratch cards. They're easily robbable, aren't they? Because they're so...
Yes.
And they are worth... Well, whatever, you still have to buy them there. I don't know whether you win that on them, but they are worth a couple of euro each, and they're only a bit of paper. A group of men came into stores, sold scratch cards and sweets and Red Bull to the value, wait for this list, €201. Reported CCTV given to guards both. To date, still no information or pulse number given to us. Two women came into the store. This is the one shop, by the way. And took daddy food to the value of €48.46. Reported and CCTV to guards. Also a car reg I gave them. To date, no information or pulse number given. A male and female came into the store and took cleaning supplies to the value of €31.80. Reported to Gardaí, CCTV to Gardaí. To date, no information or pulse number given. That's all in a very short period, and it's only a short sample. I don't know how you keep going. By the way, how would they rob? How much was it from the deli counter? How did they get...
How to do it, Joe, is to come down and they order the rolls or whatever they need, and they put it into the handbag. Do you mean they put it in the handbag, and then you'd have...
Maybe
you'd see them putting them down their trousers. Chat. We have footage of lads that's coming in and they're putting them down their trousers and putting them in under their coats. But they don't care,
they're
Joe. They really don't.
They're putting their breakfast roll down their jocks.
Yes, Joe, yeah. Unfortunately, that's what's happening. And it can be, look, it's very, 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 very frustrating, very frustrating on the day-to-day to be looking at it and knowing that it's happening in your store, and you know that you're trying to do the best. And not only that, which is another big issue, is your staff. I have staff that's with me over 20 years. And when I'm not here, or even my manager's not here, I feel that the supervisor's in charge, and you're always worried, thinking if you stepped out of the shop that is something going to happen, which did happen, and they're being threatened, and then we reported nothing done, Joe, nothing. It's like I could sit down with you and go through a book, and I tell you it would take 3 to 4 shows for you to see the amount of stuff I have and nothing followed up.
Up to county, from Meath to the county of, and you or Conor was in Dublin, over to Pat Towie in Ballyhadreen, Roscommon. Pat.
Joe, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing? What's the shoplifting scene up in Ballyhadreen?
John, since I spoke to you before, nothing has changed. So the problem is, there is no consequence for being caught. The people that are stealing, they have no fear. In fairness to the guards, you know, you report to the guards, come in, they take a statement, they'll look at the footage, they'll do their investigation, they'll find out who's doing it. You land them up then to the court at some point, maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, depending on how serious the crime is. But the problem is with the Department of Justice, they have to set a limit in terms of, if you're caught stealing, there has to be some consequence. Whether if the people are on social welfare, there should be a set fine of 250 or 500 or something. There has to be a fair element in it, and there is no fair element in it, and they don't care. There is no care. And retailers all over the country are stressed to their backbone trying to watch people. And as that man said previously, it is so disheartening on owners, shop managers, staff. We're all doing massive hours watching people on busy days stealing, and there's not one thing we can do about it. Like, if you accuse somebody in the wrong and you get it wrong, the minimum payout is 10,000. Like, how... You know, it's so stressful. But if it's got to the point now, and unless our government do something about it, set a fixed charge on all the stealing, you know, it's going to go on and on and on.
You see, I've said this before, and they say, even Micheál Martin said, and we won't go into it, but he was at the launch of Senan Maloney's book on Sophie, about the killing of Sophie Toscan de Plantier by Ian Bailey, that he was in shock at the amount of time it took for people who were arrested and charged, alleged events, but before they even got into court. So there's no point in, it could be 6 months, could be 9 months, could be 12 months, and he was comparing it to what happened when Keir Starmer got in the first few weeks when the riots were on in the UK. But I believe one of the first thing that Gardaí should be given powers, and Gardaí should be given powers if there's 4 lads suspected of shoplifting, or women or groups or whatever, the first thing that Gardaí should be given powers to do is confiscate their mobile phones immediately. No court case, and they're confiscating it to gather evidence. You'll get it back in a few weeks when we whip the mobile phones off them. That'll soften their cough. Where's Mary Keenan? Mary, good afternoon. Oh, I'll take a break and come back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT talking about the epidemic of shoplifting, which nobody seems to be bothered about except the victims. And they are shopkeepers and their staff around the country. And we're hearing from Dublin at the minute, Dublin, Meath, Roscommon. And we go across now to Galway, because I mentioned that story in the front of the Connacht Tribune. CCTV captures 3 thieves on camera outside a person's house. That person was Mary Keenan. Mary, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. Tell us what happened.
Well, last week on the 2nd of October, I was at work and I said I'd have a tea break, and I was checking my calendar to do my timesheet, and I have the app on my phone which records, you know, to the doorbell.
Yeah.
And the notification came up, human alert. Okay. And when I clicked on it, I discovered that there was 3, possibly 4 intruders with balaclavas, gloves and screwdrivers in my residence, in my front garden.
All dressed casually in their hoodies and their Canada Goose jackets and their tops and their baseball bats and their beanie hats and their one of them is in an actual balaclava. They were obviously coming, Mary, to help you cut the grass, were they?
Pardon?
They were with tongue in cheek, I said they're obviously coming to help you cut the grass. They were up to no good.
No good. And they spotted the camera.
Yeah.
And that discouraged them, you know. And I only have it a short time. It was a work colleague had suggested to get it, you know, because she had it and she found it brilliant. And to be honest, only for that they'd have broken in.
Yeah. And the house, would they have known that you were at work, Mary, do you think, from lights or...?
Well, I had lights on. I had lights on outside the house.
Okay.
On outside the house, I had a lamp on inside as well, you know.
So nothing, they were afraid of nothing?
No. Oh,
and
no.
have there been incidents in the Gourteen Ballinasloe area?
It was 9:25 at night, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which was relatively early.
Yeah, they didn't even wait till 3:00 in the morning. But I'm saying, have there been other incidents? Have you heard, Mary?
Well, I've heard that there was two other homes broken into.
Wow.
You know.
That around the same time?
Yeah, the same night.
Wow.
Yeah.
They actually got in.
The fact that I had the camera discouraged them, you know.
Yeah, well done. Well done. I say you only had... By the way, is this one of those doorbells where you can talk through it from a distance?
You can, but to be honest, now I got such a fright.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't sure whether my daughter was here or not. She's 18. Sorry, the dogs are barking there now.
Okay.
I wasn't sure whether my daughter was here or not, so she was my main concern, you know?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, was the dog there?
You know? Well, I have two dogs, but I had them in the shed at the time.
Well, you know? As someone who worked in with youngsters who were up before the courts, by the way, a lot of them is just opportunistic. They're just mooching, and if they see, they're not plotting for days. But the only thing that frightens them, forget about your so-called alarm. I don't know about the video wasn't around in those days, but the only thing that did frighten them was the bark of a dog. The bark of a dog. They're afraid of their lives of dogs, but that's neither here nor there. What did the Gardaí say, Mary?
Well, they said to me that they're looking for jewellery and cash.
But no, hang on. No, who's looking for the couriers?
Well, like, would you not, probably were gone now.
If I was the local guard, I'd nearly be able to identify a man in the baseball hat.
Yeah.
Because he is, can't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to the expense now of getting more cameras in at the back of my house at this moment.
Okay.
You know, and then also, you know, I come home now, I work hard, pay my taxes, you know, my peace of mind now is gone really at the moment because they were on my property.
But did the Gardaí say that's brilliant CCTV footage?
They did. Well, yeah. they said that the video doorbells are a discouragement, you know, and no, you can see from the video.
We don't want these guys to get camera shy. We want them caught. We want them caught. Why aren't they being caught? They did three houses in the one night in a relatively small area. There's a photograph. Why aren't these guys up on telly? Why aren't there posters?
Yeah, I don't know.
As you say, they're brazen, obviously.
And I have to say, no, Councillor Claude Higgins, you know, helped me highlight this because the way I look at it, you know, when you see them, you know, in a video, it makes it real. You know, you can hear or a person broke into or attempted breaking.
It is a very threatening photograph, isn't it? They're all in black with their designer gear. They look, they're afraid of nothing, standing there.
Yeah.
Now, I can't see their hands and this cover the Connacht Tribune, but you're saying they had screwdrivers and housebreaking implements.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because I could see them on the video on my phone, moving, you know, walking. So, and then you could see them discouraged when they noticed the doorbell.
And as soon after you spot, you're in shock, Mary. Did you ring the guards fairly pronto?
I did, yeah.
And?
You know, I have to say, no, they were very good, you know.
Okay.
Yes, and the guard is still in contact with me, you know.
Okay.
But
have you got a pulse? Have you got a pulse number?
Pardon?
Have you got a pulse number? Have you a file number? Make sure
you
get it.
Yes, great.
That's really important because Jared, above and me there, and lots of all the robberies he's endured, he hasn't even got a pulse number for a lot of them. Mary, just remember, these guys are opportunistic. They're mooching. They're not staking out houses. So don't be worried that they're going to come back. And stick with, what are the dogs' names?
Aubrey and Nelly.
Aubrey and who? Nelly.
Millie.
Yeah. Well, tell Aubrey and Millie.
Yeah.
Don't ever lose their bark, because it's the only thing that frighten these gurriers.
I know.
And you don't be cast down about it, Mary. Put it behind you. They don't come back.
But do you know what? If the reason I'm highlighting this now is, you know, just to make people aware, because I don't want anybody else to go through this.
Here.
You know.
It's an awful shock, as you say. You were in shock when you saw it. Okay, yeah. Mary, well done, and well done, Councillor Clodagh Higgins, for highlighting it as well. And let's see what the guards do down in Ballinasloe. I'll go back up to Ballyhadrian. Pat, you're in a garage. Can you not get reg numbers?
Joe, we have all the technology. We're the finest technology in the country. So the reg numbers are passed on to the guards. But in most of the instances, they're all false number plates. Like, there's a gang of guys hitting West Roscommon in a blue BMW. They have tormented and haunted parish villages out from Balladreen a few miles. They have been in they've come back on multiple occasions and randomly broken into houses that had the finest CCTV around them. These guys have no fear. They're professionals. They come in, they target houses. They're in and out. In some instances, they're there for a long time, and in other instances, they're in and out and they do what they do. They put acid down after themselves to cover their tracks.
Wow.
Like
they put what down to cover their tracks?
They put down an acid to cover their tracks, to cover their fingerprints and all that stuff, particularly in some of the high valuable houses they hit. They cover the tracks in every way they can. So these aren't just random guys that are out for a spin with a few cans of cars at night time. These are fellas that are targeting houses. But this blue BMW that's on the go down here in West Roscommon has done awful devastations to people's houses for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Now, in fairness to the guards, they're putting it up on their social media posts. Look out for this car. And the car has been picked up on various camera systems going through the towns, but we haven't caught them. They're still out there at large, and they're out there and they're active every night of the week. And I don't know how we're going to, like, there's huge money being invested in the Garda system for drugs and racketeering and all that stuff. But crime in businesses and crime in houses, there has to be a task force set up immediately, and there needs to be action, honest to God.
Because I think Jared makes a very good point. To get away with this, they'll get more and more brazen. They get more and more.
They're not afraid of anybody, and that is the problem. So if they're here on social welfare, they have to be hit where it's going to hurt them, which is in their pocket. And you shouldn't have to bring them to court. As you said, if somebody is caught and there's evidence there, the guard, they need to liaison with the social welfare and stop those payments and hit them hard where it is in their pocket. It costs a lot of money to bring these guys up to court. There's free legal aid, and guards are taking off other duties to be in court, putting up their case. The system needs to change for the better for the people. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. Yeah. And we are in big trouble, but something has to change.
But then, as I say, the Tánaiste said it recently that he's totally frustrated with the time it takes for someone who's arrested and charged with an alleged crime actually gets before the courts.
But they're setting out legislation for the country. Can they not sit down with the Director General and say, what we've done for the last 40 years hasn't worked? We have to change it. Why keep doing something just because we've always done it? That's not the way you do something. You don't solve any problem by just continuing doing the same thing. Something has to change. Yeah. So Helen McEntee and whoever else has power, 3 or 4 people need to sit down and say, we need to engage with the retail trade, we need to engage with representatives and come up with a solution. And invest, if they're putting a couple of 10 or 15 million into, you know, putting people just involved in tackling rural crime and commercial crime, and just leave them at it and give them good high-powered cars to go after these fellas and all the resources in the world that they need. You know, I was reading an article yesterday about Superintendent John O'Driscoll that died, and huge compliments to what he did and what he achieved. And fair play to him. He had the passion in him to do it. I'm sure there are other people in the force that equally have the passion, but they don't have the resources or support. And honest to God, with an election coming up, they need to address rural crime and commercial crime, because you know, they're on about the hospitality trade, that people are going out of business because there's no margin. Well, I can guarantee you people in the retail trade or in the forecourt trade, you know, we're literally being decimated in terms of robberies every single day in front of us.
And Jared, say with us, Pap. Jared, what about insurance?
It's Joe, there never a time I would claim anything of insurance.
Okay.
Because in turn it will affect it. You have to stay away. It's a big no-no, Joe.
Okay.
But there's one thing I would like to add there. One thing that I have noticed, and if you do look around, there's no Garda on the beat anymore. There's none of them on foot.
Mm.
Like, and I remember going back 7 or 8 years ago in the area that I'm in, there was an increase on what we're speaking about today. But the Garda in the town came out on beat then, the Gardaí, and they would have even introduced horses.
Mm-hmm.
And it stopped it. But you look around and you'll see the Gardaí. There's three and four of them in a car driving about. And I feel that their resources are better put to on the beat. And when their presence are in the area that I'm in, when they're on the beat and on foot, I do believe that sets a fear within the people that's in the community that I am serving. It just needs to be. They need to be more visible, rather than being cooped up in a van or cooped up in a car.
Yeah, but I don't know whether you watched that program. I think it's last Wednesday night on RTE, The Case I Can't Forget. And it was about the ATM robbery. Remember the ATM machines excavators up around Meath and Monaghan and Cavan. And that was a brilliant programme, by the way. And the Gardaí, you know, unfortunately, the thing I noticed about the two senior Gardaí, they were retired since. And they look very young men, thankfully healthy men. But anyway, they were retired. And they nabbed those fellas between a combination of tracking mobile phones and CCTV. Mobile phones and CCTV, and they caught them red-handed one night. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
What happened?
My car was parked in a small car park beside my house, and I came out in the early afternoon, and my windows were all broken, and I had 65 stone dents in the car, 4,500 worth of damage to my car.
Oh.
Just random act.
And any idea who did it, or?
Yeah, I know who did it.
Good luck. And what? It's okay, you know.
Don't
tell me who.
I won't.
You know who did it. So I'm tempted to ask you. You know who did it. So you went to the Gardaí.
Called the Gardaí. They came down to the scene. I didn't move the car.
Yeah.
They said, right, this guard is going to deal with it. My neighbour has CCTV cameras. Two neighbours have CCTV cameras, and they got the footage, but nothing was ever done about it. I had to claim off my insurance, and my insurance has gone up quite considerably. They're walking around the town. They're on the dole, and there's been no consequences for them at all. And
well, did the Gardaí say why? Did he say
No, I got nothing. I tried to follow up with the guard that was supposed to be dealing with it, and I found it impossible to contact him. He was either not on or he was out in the car. And then I got a letter sometime a couple of months ago to say that the file was closed, that they couldn't identify them positively. Now, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's a small town, and the case is closed, and I'm left with insurance now, high insurance for the next couple of years.
By the way, I was mentioning those two that TV programme, The Case I Cannot Forget, about the ATM heist, and they're eventually caught red-handed. But the two heroes, well, a lot of guards in it were heroes, retired Detective Superintendent Alan Cunningham and retired Chief Superintendent John O'Reilly. What's the word in common between the two of them? They're both retired. Why are we keeping these incredible Gardaí as long as we can? Stay with us back after this break. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And to give full credit for catching that ATM heist guy, the heist gang, the Duffys, the two Duffy brothers and Danny O'Callaghan, We should also mention retired superintendent Fergus Trainer. That's three retirements of brilliant Gardaí who are working on that. And then the other guard that's not retired is Chief Super Alan McGovern. And hopefully he's a long, long career ahead of him. But the other three men look very, not just a memory, that the years of great memory bank those three Gardaí would have. But anyway, I wish them a pleasant retirement, and they're sadly missed. I really believe they are. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You supply retail security nationwide. What's it like out there, as the fella said?
It's busy, Joe. Busy. There's an awful lot of theft that goes on around the country.
Go on, keep listing houses, shops.
We supply retail security, so we supply into retail outlets nationwide. And what we have come across an awful lot is a rise in theft and attempted theft. Unfortunately, the guards can only do so much. But a big problem we have in the industry is directly related to insurance. The insurance costs and the insurance payments that our insurance company would pay out to people claiming to have been stopped by security is insane. And what we find is an awful lot of people come in with the intention of being stopped. So they will try to let the security guard and make the security guard fall into a trap of approaching them and stopping them. And that could include them entering the store with items they have purchased somewhere else. They'll go up to the same items in the store and make it look like they're pocketing them and then leave in the hope of being stopped.
Yeah, and you stop them, or your security staff or somebody stops them, and then they say, come on, search me, this is outrageous. And before you know it, your insurance company pays out to get them to get rid of them, because they say we'll go to court for defamation. And
yes, exactly. I mean, the security guard has no right to search anyway. You know, we don't have a right to search anybody, but they will try to lead a security guard into a trap of approaching them, accusing them of shoplifting. And then before you know it, we will have a solicitor's letter in. We have to pass that on to the insurance company, and then the insurance company will pay out.
Okay, and some of them are legitimate, but I take your point. But Mark, tell us, you say the Gardaí are limited in what they can do. Why are they limited? It's called theft. It's called a crime. It's called robbery. Like, why are the Gardaí limited?
Because if I give you an example, if our security guard catches somebody who is thieving in a shop and we approach them and we recover the stock, what is our next step? We can't detain them physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, yeah.
So unless we have a dedicated detention room, but then you're into all sorts of claims, accusations can be made. So then you call the guards, you inform them that the theft has taken place, you give them the CCTV footage, and then they have to identify the person and follow up with that person, which I'm sure the guards have an awful lot of things going on themselves. So that's what I'm referring to when I say they're limited.
But you're also saying, which I think is Gerard's point as well, that as a priority case, shoplifting, stealing from retail stores is not a Garda priority.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, would you agree with that, Gerard?
I certainly would, Joe. Yes, certainly, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, as I stated. Oh,
so was it once taken much more seriously, Gerard?
Going back for around maybe 8 or 9 years ago, it would have been, yes, certainly so. It just seems to have gone downhill in the last 4 to 5 years. It just seems that there's no care there. I'm not saying that they're taking a swipe at the Gardaí, because as I stated before, the greatest respect for them and what they have to do. But it's just heartbreaking to see that even since I was talking to you, Joe, there's €31 worth of products that have been stolen there in the last 20 minutes.
How do you know that?
My manager's after informing me here.
And what was stolen?
Meat and bread and some sprays.
So they took them, put them in the bag and walked out?
Walked out with them. But look, we have footage again. We'll do
That obviously we don't know who it is. Male or female?
Male.
Age?
It's probably around between 40 and 45.
Would you recognise him again if you saw him?
I would, certainly. So we put in the phone call there now.
Okay, you've rang the guards now. He's done it in the last 20 minutes. Have you seen this fella in your shop before?
I would have seen him on once or twice. I would have seen him. We would have been watching him. But just the guard was just dropped there now today. And they just took, there were an opportunist and they got just took just items there just now as in the last 20 minutes.
What a god.
Yeah, it's just, look, Joe, you never know when it's going to happen. Like, it's, and then, look, we go down, it's like Groundhog Day. We run off the CCTV onto the stick. We'll report it to the Gardaí. It's just like a groundhog. It goes back into the book where I showed the book to your researcher, and it'll go back in there. And nothing, I don't expect nothing, only cost me another €8 or €9 for the USB stick. Joe, it's... It's just frustrating, Joe.
I can hear the frustration. Mark, I know you do retail. Like, is there anything that would stop this epidemic, Mark?
God, Joe, I mean, you really need to have stricter sentences and more kind of repercussions for people who are caught and prosecuted for shoplifting. Because we have situations around the country where there's people walking around with 50, 60, 70 convictions for shoplifting. And they're still shoplifting.
Yeah. Oh, it's shocking. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay. Jared, you mind yourself out there, and Mark as well. Keep up the good work. Yeah. But
I appreciate Joe for highlighting it. Very much appreciate it.
Okay, and appreciate you for contacting us. Mark, by the way, you know all these security tags, the buttons, whatever you call them. Is it true you can go online and buy a D-tagger?
Yes, you can. You can get a D-tagger. We were supplying security into a store there last Christmas that had, I'd call it high-value items in the shop that were all tagged. What they do is they go in, they take the tags off with this device, and they will put the tags into another jacket, into a jacket pocket that they don't steal, and they'll try to wear the jacket out that they take the tag off.
Oh, no, hang on. They take the tag off the jacket?
They take the tag off the jacket and they will place the tag that they remove into another item which they are not stealing. They'll place it into a pocket thing.
So they throw on the jacket and that has no tag on it and they walk out, they strut out.
Yes, and then what happens is...
Pat Towey, yeah?
Yeah,
Pat.
So just, you know, we all agree that it's the problem is there is no consequence. You know, could you invite the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, on to your show and ask her, is she aware of all the problems that's happening in the agri industry, the retail industry, the residential industry and all the stealing? And, you know, is anything going to change? Because nobody can hear us. Nobody can hear our pain. We're all saying it here today. And after dinner, they'll be saying, oh, did you hear them on the Joe Duffy show? It'll be forgotten tomorrow. Honest to God, people need to take responsibility.
It's not Helen. It's not the Minister. And the Minister's very good. She's very good at answering questions.
Who,
and
she said
the Gardaí are doing the best. I've got an extra allocation, the budget of ABCD plus four. The Gardaí are doing their best. We'll do. But it's Drew Harris. It's the Gardaí commissioner you want in to set up.
Fine, but it's a consequence. As everybody has said, when you're caught stealing, there has to be a consequence that's going to hurt your pocket.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you any other way. It has to be 500 or 1,000 or once off. Because if you're walking around with 60 convictions and you keep robbing in shops, you know, be brought up to court and getting a slap on the hand to say, oh, you can't do it again. That's another conviction against you. It's not working.
First thing you do is confiscate their mobile phones. I know they go out and get another one, but then they ought to get their numbers and blah, 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 de blah. But it's a little thing that might make a difference. Jared, you mind yourself. Mark, thanks indeed.
Pat Toey
in Ballahedrine. Thank you all. Joe at RTE.ie 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You may have seen Miranda Hart, you know, from Ask the Midwife and various other programmes in the UK, a very likable character. And she was on with Graham Norton there the other week. She was talking about Lyme's disease and how it's so badly affected her. She got married as well recently. She met some fella, came to fix her plumbing, and before you know, the two of them were piping hot and they got married and they're immersed in it now. Congratulations. But Iris Mead, Iris, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. Lyme disease. This has unfortunately rung a bell for you.
It has indeed, Joe. Sure, only for Liveline back 5 years ago. I'd have never known about the disease myself.
Okay, tell
and
us.
It was only listening to the show that the penny dropped. All the people that you had on were talking about their symptoms and their illnesses. And that brought me down the path of having to be tested.
Wow.
For Lyme disease. So I can thank your show for that. But unfortunately, over the years, like it hasn't really moved on too much because we're, you know, not getting the awareness out there that we need to for the public in general, you know.
And what were your symptoms, Iris?
Oh, the symptoms at the time, Joe, was bad fatigue, neuropathy in the body, and the symptoms just go from head to toe, cognitive issues, you know, pains, joint pains, and, you know, as I say, the list can be endless for different people, from tinnitus to sensitivity to light. You name it, it can affect every organ within the body, and especially if it has gone undiagnosed for a number of years.
But did the medics put in, what did they think it was? Because surely...
At the time, Joe, I had been suffering from, I got bit around 2013 down in Wexford, and it was mistaken for ringworm. Okay. It was a very small bite at the time, and it wasn't what you normally see, the rash. And it was dismissed, say, for 7 years. I had ongoing kind of summer flus and things like that, and tingling arms and tingling hands. And it just happened to be then that I got cholecystitis, which was gallbladder infection.
Wow.
And I had the gallbladder out, and they kept saying to me, you're going to be grand. Once you get your gallbladder out, you'll be grand.
Oh,
unfortunately, that didn't happen. And I was about a year then, them trying to figure it out until, as I say, Joe, I was in work and I was listening to your show. And then the penny dropped. And at the time they were talking about, unfortunately, a lot of people still have to send their bloods to German labs to be tested. Then we only have one really good man, consultant, looking after us here in Ireland, who you've had on many times before.
Jack Lambert in the matter. I know
exactly, Dr. Lambert. He's an amazing man, and he does so much for us and advocating for Lyme disease.
Did you say to them, I think I have Lyme disease, can I be tested for it?
Well, I was tested, Joe, for the HSE Lyme disease test, but unfortunately, because I was chronic, it came back negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I say, I did the bloods for the Armin Labs in Germany, and that came back positive. So the consultant that I was seeing at the time, I was seeing a rheumatologist at the time, and I went up with the list of the tests, and I said, look at... this is what I have, Lyme disease. And then that brought me then to Dr. Lambert then, obviously, for clinical diagnosis, you know what I mean? It's not just the bloods alone.
And Iris, a treatment. Is there any treatment for Lyme disease?
Yeah, well, the standard for if you get bitten is 3 weeks of antibiotics. But unfortunately, for a lot of us chronic patients, it's a matter of having combination antibiotics.
Okay.
Because the ticks can also give you co-infections as well. And so people are different, but bitten by different ticks. So different ticks give you different infections. And unfortunately, here in Ireland, we can't have a lot of people now abroad would get IV antibiotics too, which would be better for the system. But unfortunately, we have to take oral antibiotics. And unfortunately, we can't get IV for longer than a 2 week period, as far as I'm aware. So it kind of rules out. And also, Joe, which is the sad thing about this, is we have to go private to be treated in our own country, Ireland here, to get the treatment that we need. Otherwise, it's, you know, the awareness of it in general practice and all is very, very not good, unless, as I say, we have an awareness campaign. Plus, people are out in their national parks and people don't think you can be bitten here in Ireland.
And apparently if you're long grass,
exactly,
your bare legs, and you get a little sting, if it's a bullseye, get to a doctor ASAP and get antibiotics into you. Yeah, I was mentioning around the heart earlier on from called the midwife, and she was in various other things as well. But she said she said I was bedbound for years following the end of her. She had a sitcom, eponymously named, obviously. And she's now 51. She said when she finished filming Miranda in 2015, she struggled to even leave the house. She lived a life without joy. And she eventually suffered a total collapse, and she was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, commonly known as chronic fatigue syndrome. But then said, I didn't have a social life. I didn't have responsibilities or identities. I was housebound, bedbound for years. And eventually she was diagnosed as suffering with Lyme disease. After years of telling doctors, she said, that I was leading a half life, a very debilitated life, but I had no understanding of why. She told how experts eventually joined the dots and linked her symptoms to a period of her spending time in Virginia in the United States when she was 18. And that's how they went when she was a teenager. And that's how she was eventually diagnosed with Lyme disease. Stay with us. I'll be back in a sec, Iris, because Nisha is on the line. And and Mark, back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking about Lyme disease generated by this discussion propelled by Miranda Hart in the UK. She said she got it when she was a teenager, wasn't diagnosed into her 50s. Nisha Cohan. Nisha, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You believe you got Lyme disease when you were 14 and weren't diagnosed till in your late 20s.
Yeah, so it started when I was 14. I had a lot of symptoms then. I had severe fatigue, loss of appetite, weight loss, dropped down to around 5.5 stone.
Okay.
Facial numbness, issues with my liver. I attended only a few hours in school. I would then go home and sleep for the rest of the day. Didn't sit my junior cert. My parents actually tell me now they thought they were watching me die. I was so bad. Didn't get answers from anybody. No hospital, specialist, GP. And there was no mention of Lyme disease. Nothing. Never tested. Around the age of 16, then I went into what we now know was like a Lyme remission, and I was able to do my leaving cert, went to college, but I was never normal. I was constantly sick, infections in and out of the doctors, and I was always taking sick leave from work. Then around 26, everything came back with vengeance, and I had to leave work and figure out what was happening. My GP sent away for referrals, and I tested MRIs and everything. But there was no answer again, nothing. So I started to do my own research in the background, and that's when I came across Lyme. I did ask for a Lyme test at the time, but I was told no, because they told me that I didn't seem sick enough. So I then sent away for a test kit from Germany, Armin Labs, like Iris mentioned. And that came back positive for Lyme and multiple co-infections.
Wow.
So then my GP sent for a referral to Jack Lambert in the Mater Hospital.
Yeah.
And he once again tested me, and it came back for Lyme disease and multiple co-infections. And this was 15 years later, so this is around age 29.
And Nisha, treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Does it work?
The problem is, because I said 15 years later, I now have late stage neurological Lyme disease. So it has affected my entire system. So I will never be 100% better. I will never live a normal life because it took so long for me to be diagnosed. If the Irish medics didn't have the lack of knowledge and awareness of this disease, I would have a normal life. My life would not be completely ruined. So I would have treatment that would work. I would be able to get antibiotics that would help and give me my life back. So I am on long-term antibiotics that are incredibly difficult. Like, they make me very sick.
Yeah.
But they will potentially give me around maybe, that's a big maybe, 70% of my life back.
Wow. And Nisha, have you any idea? Miranda Hart put it down to a time she spent in the States. Have you any idea where you picked up the bite?
Well, obviously when I was younger, like, I would have got tick bites, as we all did. But there is no memory of a rash or anything like that. And that is a big thing I think doctors need to think about, is that only 60 to 70 of Lyme disease cases actually get a bullseye rash.
Okay.
You do not need to have a bullseye rash to get Lyme disease. And that's what doctors, I think, need to know before, when they think Lyme disease. You don't need to go to a doctor and say, I think I may have Lyme disease. They need to ask a question. They sometimes say, oh, do you remember A, a tick bite, and B, do you have a bullseye rash? You don't need to answer no to those questions not to have Lyme disease.
Okay.
You can still have Lyme disease without having those two things.
Okay. Anne Marr is on the line. Anne, you were diagnosed 29 years ago. Do you know where you got the bite, the Lyme disease?
Joe, hiya. Thanks for having us on again. Mm. I have no idea. I have no memory of a bite. The only thing I do know is I was at my nephew's wedding in New Jersey in September 95. Now, before I went, I used to line dance, set dance, and I did the ladies' mini marathon that year.
Okay.
And when I came home, I wasn't able to get out of bed with the fatigue.
Yeah.
And 15 months later, I got facial paralysis. And I was told I'd be grand in 5 to 6 weeks, no mention of Lyme disease. And all these years later, I still have facial paralysis. And early last year, I got significantly, I cannot help to talk to you, because my face used to swell up, my lips and my gums.
Oh, my gosh.
And early last year, my tongue swelled up and I didn't sleep a wink for 3 nights. And my GP prescribed antibiotics and it kind of settled a bit. But I contacted a few doctors that I'd met at conferences. They're from Germany. And Dr. Armin Schwaschbach from Armin Labs was one. And he reminded me about Dr. Rick Sector. He's a maxillofacial surgeon from Zarluz, who I met at a conference that I organised here in 2016.
And how are you now, Anne? 2024?
I'm okay, John, or Joe. I'm surviving. My late husband died in 2017 from leukaemia, and I panicked. I thought I wouldn't survive on my own because he was picking me up off the floor and calling ambulances. But you know what? I'm managing, and we just want to raise awareness, because you don't have to go anywhere to get an infected tick. It's all over the countries. And we've been on to the government and different, the OPW, trying to get awareness signs up, Joe. And our first Oireachtas meeting was in 2013, and there's nothing has changed since. So look, it's not about me, it's for the little children coming along that are out in this long grass that the government are approving of now. And
they're getting
bitten. And you see, the problem is you might even see a bite. You might even get a rash. I didn't. I had a rash coming home my leg. They told me it was ringworm. So, we just need, people need to be aware that little children can get this, and then they're often misdiagnosed with other neurological problems, you know. So the testing, they're missing something, Joe. We need to improve the testing for it, and the education for frontline staff and medical professionals too. Yeah, because a nurse that I know works in A&E, and she had no idea of what to look for, you know, and she approached me about, because I wrote my story this year. Lyman called me, you know, it's a little lad, and John McGuinness, my local TD, launched it in May for Awareness Month. And the amount of people that have contacted him to get to me about it since has been amazing.
Okay, you're amazing. Anna, I want to go to Eleanor, because there's a few people now. Eleanor, your son-in-law.
Yes. Yes. Hi, Joe. My son-in-law, who lives in the UK, was walking the common, and he picked it up there with the dog. And so he got very, very unwell. Mm-hmm. And he was a very fit guy in his sort of 30s, late 30s. But he couldn't walk to the front door. He was so bad. And he went into hospital. They tried several. They didn't know what was wrong with him. And it was kind of misdiagnosed for some time. But eventually somebody suggested he saw a neurologist. Mm-hmm. And the neurologist was going, took on his holidays, and he rang him and said, I'm taking you in for a spinal tap.
Right.
And it showed up in the spinal tap.
Wow.
And, so
I presume antibiotics to beat the band, as they say.
Oh, straight into hospital. There was a bed already booked for him. And 3 weeks of intravenous antibiotics.
And how's he now?
He is back in pretty full fitness again now.
Okay. And how quickly, and insofar as you know, how quickly was he diagnosed?
It took nearly 6 months.
Okay. That seems to be a big issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe, could I interrupt there?
Yes, Anne, yes, briefly.
I had 2 spinal taps. I wasn't diagnosed for 8 years, and I borrowed money in the credit union and went to Switzerland in 2003. So the spinal tap showed nothing in my case. You know, so I don't know. I ended up with acute renal failure too, so it's very complicated, you know.
Yeah, you just asked, well, just reminding people again, and thank you for doing it, to be extraordinarily vigilant. Iris, Nisha, Anne and Eleanor, thank you all. Ashton Grufferty was in sound. Broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, Ray, producer today is Tara Lockery-Grant, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover our new autumn collection with fresh designs and cosy colours. In-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.